I appreciate the opportunity just to stand and to preach the Word of God. I'm going to read, four verses and then just take off in the chapter and try to give to you what the Lord has dealt with my heart about. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 1, Isaiah said, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Verse 5 said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. God be my helper this morning and help me to share what I have on my heart. I want to preach on comfort ye, my people, and look at some things in this chapter that ought to be a comfort to the people of God. I know that many of you are going through trying times in your family. Many of you are going through trying times in your life. And I know that God has a word for those. God, no one ever cared for us like Jesus. He cares enough this morning to think about you and to make intercession for you and for me before the throne of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Bible, God's holy word. Lord, we thank you this morning for the sweet Holy Spirit that helps us to understand the Holy Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the saints of God that are gathered in the house of God today. Lord, I pray you'd clothe us in our calling. I pray, Lord, that the Scripture that is intended fully to bring comfort to the children of God would do so this morning. Then, Lord, I pray that that same Scripture that's intended to bring comfort to the children of God would bring conviction to those that do not know the Lord, that they might, Lord, get ready. For surely, Lord, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Help folks to be ready, Lord, to be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man shall come again. I pray, Lord, today you'd bless your word now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In Isaiah chapter 40, there's some things going on that just by way of introduction, Isaiah's looking back at the affliction that's been imposed on the children of Israel by the Assyrians. And he said here, the warfare is accomplished. Her warfare is accomplished. God was using an ungodly people. And America better wake up to this. Listen to me. God used ungodly nations to judge his people, Israel. And they had already come out of that with the Assyrians and were headed again towards the Babylonians. But in the midst, God is going to give the children of Israel a word of comfort, something to remember, something that they might take a comfort in. He's looking even further ahead in the Scripture to the first and the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, because right here you remember concerning John the Baptist, the voice of him, of one that crieth in the wilderness. Isaiah is telling us that the King is coming, the Savior's coming, the Redeemer's on his way, amen. And we know that according to the Bible, Israel missed that. Nationally, they missed that. You and I better be glad they did, because God grafted in the Gentiles, amen, and gave us an opportunity to be born again. The Bible said he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I might not look like much this morning, but let me tell you what I am. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am a son of the living God, because the Son of the living God chose to go to Calvary and purchase my eternal redemption. And I thank God for that this morning. I appreciate the Lord. I want to give you three things this morning that God spoke to my heart about in the chapter. Number one, we ought to find comfort in knowing God's people. He said here, comfort ye, comfort ye. I want you to look at this little word, my, M-Y. God is speaking, and he said, I have a people. How many's glad this morning you're one of his? David said it like this, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I thank God he's the chief shepherd. I thank God he's the great shepherd. I thank God he's the good shepherd. I thank my God he's my shepherd this morning. And I tell you, we ought to find comfort in knowing that we're one of his. He said, comfort ye, my people. Beloved, there's a parallel here with the bride of Christ. We're his people this morning. You say, preacher, what can you find comfort in knowing God's people? Look at verse 2. He said, speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. That her would be a parallel or a type of the bride of Christ. And the word of God said, her warfare is accomplished. Can I tell you this morning? Thank the Lord. Our warfare is not accomplished yet. The battle's been won at Calvary. But thank God we're still in a battle down here. But one day we'll be able to look back as the children of the living God and say our warfare has been accomplished. Amen. And the Lord is coming after us. The Word of God said her iniquity is pardoned. Aren't you glad this morning that you're not going to stand before God and give an account for that sin? You say, preacher, you can't say that. Honey, I'm telling you, the blood covered it all. I'll give an account for my service to the Lord, but my sin was nailed in his body to an old rugged tree. The old rugged cross, Jesus shed his blood for my eternal redemption. Her iniquity is pardoned. But look in verse number 3. Or verse number 4, her future is wonderful. The Word of God said, every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I tell you, I'm just an old country boy. Let me give it to you in country boy language. Our Lord's coming, and he's going to straighten this mess out. Amen. I want you to know, listen, this world will not know peace till the Prince of Peace gets here. Amen. And thank the Lord. You say, oh, preacher, they'll know peace in the tribulation. Honey, it's a fake. It's a false peace. Amen. The only people that know real peace are those that know Christ. Not the Antichrist, but the Christ of the Bible. They're the only ones that know the real peace. There's comfort in knowing God's people. Secondly, in the Scripture, there's comfort in seeing God's glory. Well, notice what the Bible said here in verse number 5. The Bible said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. And surely the people is grass. I'm telling you this morning, listen to me carefully. We're not going to be here long. The Word of God talks about this old flesh is going to go back to the dust from whence it came. But thank God, the glory of the Lord, my friend, is going to be seen by those that know him. And that ought to comfort us this morning to know that the King is coming. And I like these words, we shall see him as he is. Thank God right now we look at him by faith. But there's coming a day when we'll have some glorified eyeballs. And we can look at the one that loved us and gave himself for us. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every once in a while we get in on a little glory down here. Every once in a while you'll have your Bible out reading. You'll be down praying. And God will settle in like that heavenly dove did on Jesus when he was being baptized. And every once in a while, beloved, there'll be a little glory in your soul. But thank God there's coming a day, beloved, listen, when the glory won't be just in our soul. But thank God we'll have a glorified body. We'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. There's comfort in knowing God's people. There's comfort in seeing God's glory. I want to ask you this morning. What about comfort in believing God's word? That's the last thing in the message today. Look at verse number 8. The Bible said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let me ask you something. Now listen to me carefully. Don't you reckon that we would be wise to spend a little more time with something that's going to last forever and a lot less time with the things of this world that are going to fry. They're going to burn up, the Word of God said. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. This book, the Word of God said, is forever settled in heaven. And this book is what we need in this day and in this hour. You say, preacher, why are some people tore out of the frame? They have no comfort. I'll tell you why. They spend too much time looking horizontal and not enough time looking vertical. I believe when you look down into the pages of the Word of God, you're looking up into the face of the God of heaven. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. It was life, and the life, Brother Brian, was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Thank God the light shined in this old dark heart one day. The dynamite of the gospel blew apart that rock that was hard. And God gave me a heart of flesh and took out that heart of stone. Thank the Lord this morning for the word of God. Let me give you some things concerning His word in the chapter. Comfort ye, my people. I'm going to tell you something. If you can't find comfort in the word of God, you'll not find it anywhere else. Say amen. You'll not find it, beloved. I used to, I guess. I watched an episode of Andy Griffith last night. And boy, I tell you, there's just a moral story, it seems, in those old ones, amen, before they got out the liquor bottle and went down to the lodge and started smoking. You can have that free of charge. Say amen. I'm talking about them black and white days back there, amen. Little Andy, or little Opie, was saving his money. And Andy couldn't understand why he didn't give more to the children's fund. How many remembers the episode? And Opie was saving his money for his little girlfriend. Andy was ill with his son. He was ashamed of his son. Then come to find out Opie was saving it to buy her a coat. I say hallelujah. I say there used to be a time, I guess you could call it Hollywood. But it's so full of hell anymore, I believe you ought to call it Hollywood. You can't even flip through the channels without some man kissing another man or some woman or hugging on another woman. They ain't even got enough sense to know that marriage is between a man and a woman. They deny the Word of God. They deny the God of the Word. But there's coming a day when the Word of God will have free course in this world that we live in. It's forever settled in heaven. God's Word teaches us some things this morning. I want to share that with you quickly. Number one, God's Word teaches us that God is omnipotent. You say, what's that mean, preacher? That means He's got the power. He's got all power in heaven and earth. The Bible said in verse number 12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. Now listen, the dust, not just the sand by the seashore, but the dust of the earth. The Word of God said He comprehended that in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Oh, beloved friend, let me tell you, He's all powerful this morning. He's the one that hung the stars in place. He's the one that made the moon. He's the one that made the sun. He's the one that made a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And beloved, listen, we ought to take comfort in knowing that if God could do all that, whatever our problem is this morning, whatever our need is this morning, it can be met through the omnipotent God of heaven, amen, that made the stars and didn't just make them. You can find out in this chapter, He named them. Amen.
Every time one of them falls, he knows about it. Every time I comb my hair and a hair comes out in the brush or the comb, he changes the number. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I believe the Bible. I believe he believes and knows every hair that's in our head this morning. Every thought that's in our heart. God's word teaches us that he is omnipotent. The word of God, see, the nations think, boy, we got this. Oh, we've got our nuclear. Let me tell you something right now. I'm glad the nations ain't got the button that's important. You say, preacher, you've lost it. No, you listen to me. Beloved, I'm not trusting in a president, any president. Amen. I'm not trusting in denuclearization. Say amen. You say, preacher, them nuclear warheads has got power. Yeah, I know. But I know one's got more power than they have. Say amen. Look what the Bible said. Look, verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Let me tell you something right now. When my God looks down at North Korea, when my God looks down at Iran, when my God looks down at Russia, when my God looks down at the United States of America and sees their weaponry, he's not impressed. I'm telling you, beloved, he's the one that's got all power in heaven and in earth. And that comforts me. I'm not shaking in my shoes wondering what's going to happen, because I know what's going to happen. He's coming. He's coming again. That's what's going to happen. God's word teaches us that he's omnipotent. God's word teaches us something else, that he's a jealous God. Look at verse number 18. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness shall you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. And he that's so impoverished that he hath not, no oblation, chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. He's talking about images that can't hear. Images that can't see. But let me tell you something right now. Listen, God's people. Some of God's people are not comforted this morning. I'll tell you why. You would never think about bringing a little suitcase in here full of little golden gods and putting them on the communion table and bowing down and worshiping to them. But what is it that's keeping you from him? What is it that you've made a god out of? What is it that means more to you than the God of heaven? What is it that means more to you than the salvation of your family? I'm telling you, God is a jealous God, and he doesn't want anything between his children and him except fellowship. Amen. Beloved friend, listen, we need to be careful, because idols don't have to be little golden things. That separates us from our God. That ties up our mind. That ties up our time. That ties up our talent. Let me tell you, summertime's coming and a lot of ties will go to the beach. You heard what I said. That tithe is the Lord's. Help me this morning. They'll go to the beach and never come back. They'll go to the amusement park and never come back. They'll go to the ball game and never come back. I'm just telling you this morning, God's paying attention. He's a jealous God. And beloved, when we won't obey this precious old book, we give up the comfort that God wants us to have in our heart and in our lives. I love the Holy Spirit, because God in heaven knows that thought never even crossed my mind till I was standing here just now. Amen. Everything else cost you $100. That's free of charge. You better take it up with the God of heaven. Amen. He's trying to help you. I want you to stand before God. You say, preacher, you want my money? No, it ain't your money. It's God's. I just want you to give him what's his, so that one day you can stand before him and hear him say, well done. You don't have to hang your head in shame. Amen. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? He's good to us this morning. God's word teaches us that he's a jealous God. Then let me give you this, just a couple more things. We're in this last little point right here. See, we went through one and two so quick, y'all got excited. That's right. I just didn't tell you that under three there was A, B, C, and D. Amen. I used to say when I pastored down at Liberty, now in closing, one old boy said, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God said. God's Word teaches that He's omnipotent. God's Word teaches us that He's a jealous God. God's Word teaches us that He's omnipresent. Look at verse 22. It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And He shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall, or shall I be equal? Saith the Lord. Lift up your eyes and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth all by names, by greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth. You say, preacher, what do you mean God is omnipresent? The Word of God speaks here of the circle of the earth. Let me tell you something right now. He knows this morning what's going on. Let me give you something this morning. He knows not just what, how many hairs we got in our head. He knows what's under the hair. He also knows this morning the thoughts that went through our minds this morning while we heard the Sunday school lesson, while we've heard the preaching of the Word of God, while we've heard the choir singing. He said, preacher, that choir don't bless me like it does you. Maybe you ought to listen. Maybe you ought to hear the words. Maybe you ought to hear, beloved, listen, what Jesus has done for you. Somebody was playing a while ago, what a lovely name, the name of Jesus. I want you to know there's never been a name like the name of Jesus. I'm glad, thank God, I live in America where I could hear the name of Jesus. Amen. I got an email from the missionary the other day, Brother Alan Brooks. Brother Alan is down in Papua New Guinea. He sent out an email. I think we're 15 hours behind where they are in Papua New Guinea, if I'm not mistaken. It was 15 hours. Brother Allen sent out an email and said, I'll be preaching on Sunday morning. So he needed prayers on Saturday night. And he said, the rugby team is going to come to the church. Brother Steve, I got another email this morning. Eight men on the rugby team said yes to the Lamb of God in that church service. There was 600 people in that service, brother. There had been Bibles passed out in the high schools. They're going into the middle school. They're going into the elementary school. I told somebody last week, America said, we don't want the Word of God in our school. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm one that's omnipresent. I'm everywhere. I'll just look for me a spot on God's green globe where they do want the Word of God in their school. I'll tell you something right now. He's everywhere. You say, preacher, he don't know where I'm at. Oh, yes, he does. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're going. And, beloved, let me tell you this. Knowing all that, he still loves us. Ain't that a blessing this morning? He still loves us. He still loves us. He loves you this morning. You ought to find comfort in God's Word and that it teaches that He's omnipresent. Look at God's Word. Not only is omnipresent, but omniscient. Look where what the Bible said. God's Word teaches us that the God of heaven is omniscient. That means all-knowing. Look at verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Look at verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither there is no searching of His understanding. Let me tell you something this morning. God knows. God knows who you are. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. I find myself in prayer often saying, Lord, I know. You already know what we need. But Lord, you said to ask. How many believes he knows what we have need of even before we ask? You say, well, preacher, why does he want us to ask anyway? I'll tell you why. Because he enjoys our fellowship. He enjoys us coming into his presence. He enjoys hearing words like this, like my little grandbabies that get up in my lap and say, Papa, I love you. You say, preacher, that ain't much. Well, then you just need to be a Papa. Amen. There ain't nothing like it in the world. Give Papa a kiss. Give Papa another kiss. I'll tell you something right now. Our Lord wants us to crawl up in his lap. Fellowship with him. Kiss on him a little while. I tell you, you ain't lived until you felt him kiss on you and say, honey, I love you. Honey, I care for you. You say, preacher, you really believe he's omniscient? You really believe he knows all things? Yes, I do. Amen. And I take comfort in that this morning. The word of God said, they said, my way is hid from the Lord. Let me tell you something right now. I used to tell the men in prison. I'm trying to wind it down this morning. I used to tell the men in prison, you don't want to know why most of the meanness goes on after dark? Because people believe it's hidden. They believe if there's no light. Brother Brian, this is good right here. Goes with Sunday school. There may not be a street light. There may not be a flashlight. But the light of the world knows every dark corner. And he knows what's going on in every dark corner. I'm telling you, beloved, he's omniscient. They think Israel thought they could hide it. Jacob thought they could hide it. But, beloved, you cannot hide from the God of heaven. He knows what's going on in your life. You cannot hide it. God's word teaches us that he's omniscient. You say, preacher, what's he know? Let me tell you something this morning. The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me ask you a question. How many of you in your Christian experience have felt like at times you were strong in the Lord? Raise your hand. You felt that strength. One old preacher said it like this. You felt like you could charge hell with a water pistol. Amen. You knew God was right there. You knew God was moving. You knew God was working. You knew God was trustworthy. How many have ever had the other side of that coin? When you was about to faint, when you just didn't know if you could ever put one foot in front of the other. I'm telling you what God said. He says, I know. I know when you're strong. I know when you're weak. I know when you're about to faint. He says, wait on me. I'm going to come through. I'm going to give power to the faint. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. Listen, I'm not trying to be ugly this morning. Sometimes people leave the church in the will of God. Listen to me carefully. Sometimes people leave the church in the will of God. God is moving them. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There'll be evidence. They'll be stronger because of it. When a person leaves the church out of the will of God, and they're fainting on God, they will not be stronger because of it. They will be weaker because of it. I'm telling you, beloved, God knows who's in his will. And God knows who's out of his will. And he loves those that are in his will. He loves those that are out of his will. But you'll not find strength till you get back in the will of God. Amen. Do what God wants you to do. Beloved friend, the word of God said here, he's omniscient. Even the youth shall faint. It don't matter, beloved, how old you are. This world will weigh on you. It don't matter how far down the trail you are. This world will weigh on you. And beloved, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me close with this morning. I want to close with this thought this morning. He's coming. Jesus is coming. You say, preacher, what do you see in the word of God? Look down at verse number 9 with me for just a minute. He's coming. He knows. He's all powerful. He's everywhere. He's a jealous God. You say, preacher, why should that concern me? Because he's coming. If he came right now, how would he find you? Would he find you comforted? Or would he find you convicted? Would he find you in the will of God? or would he find you out of the will of God? Amen. Would he find you this morning a Bible reader? Would he find you this morning a man or a woman of prayer? Would he find you this morning a man or a woman that has a word, a fitly spoken in due season, a witness for the Lord? Or would he find you out of his will? He's coming. Look at verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come. Woo! Hallelujah. Isaiah saw it a long time ago. He said, behold, the Lord God will come. He's coming. Notice what the Bible said. With a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. It sounds just exactly to me like the last book in the Revelation. Honey, he's coming. He's coming. If he comes today, would you be ready? Are you saved? Would you have a reward if you're saved? Have you been serving the Lord? I want you to know this morning, beloved, listen. God said, and God meant it, Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. I said Jesus is coming. Let not your heart be troubled. You could say that another way. Be comforted. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus told his disciples, believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus prays in John chapter 17. He says, Lord, I'm not praying that you should take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you should keep them in my name. Amen. I'm telling you, he prays for unity. He prays that the church might be one as he and the Father were one. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus, beloved, knows that he's coming. And what ought to comfort us this morning is he's going to take care of his youngins till he does. He's going to take care of the church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's his church. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.